The Supreme Court has been chipping away at labor protections for years, but its most recent anti-worker ruling targets one of the most vulnerable groups of workers and takes a particularly regressive stance in elevating property rights over labor rights. In Cedar Point Nursery versus Hasid, a 6-3 majority held that a California farm labor law that enables union organizers to temporarily enter farms to talk to workers is a, quote, per se taking under the 5th and 14th Amendments, unquote. According to the analysis at the On Labor blog, the decision reflects an extremely conservative view of the 5th and 14th Amendments by saying that the state, simply by mandating that employers allow union organizers onto their property for the purpose of engaging workers during non-work time and exercising their government-protected right to organize, is committing a, quote, physical taking, unquote, of the employer's property, and that the government has, quote, appropriated a right to invade, unquote, this privately held land. The three dissenting judges argued that the law merely allowed the union organizers to access the property briefly for the purposes of helping them exercise their basic right to join a union, and that, quote, the imposition imposed by the regulation was temporary. It did not authorize a permanent and continuous occupation of the employer's land, unquote. But the majority upheld the property owner's right, not only to exclude organizers, but also to preempt a key state protection for workers' right to unionize, as long as they are within the boundaries of the employer's property. For background, California established this labor law in 1975 specifically to fill in massive gaps in the Fair Labor Standards Act, which categorically excluded farm workers as well as domestic workers when it was initially passed. And those sectors, not coincidentally, employed many Black workers. The California Agricultural Labor Relations Act, which pertained mostly to the extremely vulnerable, impoverished migrant farm workers from Latin America, was designed, as the decision notes, to give, quote, agricultural employees a right to self-organization and makes it an unfair labor practice for employers to interfere with that right, unquote. The Supreme Court decision, however, inverts that power dynamic by making it essentially unconstitutional for the state to unilaterally impose on employers a mandate that allows unions to organize in their space. It does leave open the possibility that the state may compensate employers in some way in order to enforce this law, but the decision signals the court's hostility toward union rights and bias toward private property rights. I spoke with Ben Sachs, a Harvard Law professor and editor-in-chief of On Labor, about how this decision might affect workers both on and off of California farms.
This was a case involving the California Agricultural Labor Relations Act, which applies to farm workers in the state of California. Now, listeners may know that farm workers are excluded from the coverage of federal labor law. There's a racist history behind that exclusion. But the result in this case is that we're dealing with a state law governing union organizing and collective bargaining on California farms. That state law mandated that agricultural employers allow union organizers to come onto their property for a limited amount of time each day during non-work hours to talk to farm workers about union organizing. That law had been on the books for decades and was challenged recently by these agricultural employers who claimed that a mandate that they allow union organizers onto their property was unconstitutional because it constituted takings of their property, that the regulation amounted to the state taking the employer's property without compensating for them for that use. And the U.S. Supreme Court essentially agreed with the employers here and said, yes, if the state mandates that union organizers get access to farms, the state has taken the farm owner's property. And unless the state compensates the farm owners for that takings, we have an unconstitutional regulation. So that's the basic holding of the case. It's a terrible holding for many reasons, which we can get into. I do think there's something that's important not to miss here before we say what's terrible. And that is when the Supreme Court finds an unconstitutional takings, the holding means that the regulation, that the state, in order to enforce the regulation, has to compensate the property owner. It doesn't mean that the regulation is impermissible or illegal in a broader sense. So what California could do in this case is figure out what the farm owners are owed for allowing union organizers to come onto their property a couple hours a day when nobody's working.
So pay the employer for the right under the law, right, to actually go in there and organize.
That's exactly right. The way of thinking about it is that this holding means that the state of California has to pay farm owners for the union organizers' right to access their property. The reason that this gives me some hope about the future for this law is that if it were me, I wouldn't think that the farm owners would be owed very much money at all. We're talking about massive farms and a very limited right of access that by definition can't interfere with anything going on the property in terms of farm work. So it may be that California determines that yes, a farm owner is owed something for this access right, but is in fact owed very little. And that the best we could hope for is a future in which California has to pay farm owners for the access right, but doesn't have to pay very much at all. And there is in fact precedent for this. There's an older takings case involving cable companies and a New York law that required landlords to allow cable companies to install equipment on their buildings. And the Supreme Court said, yep, that was unconstitutional. And it went back to the State Labor Commission and the State Cable Commission. And the State Cable Commission said the landlord was owed $1. I like to start with a bit of optimism about this case. That's where I would find the optimism. But the decision is terrible. It's terrible for a host of reasons. And in the labor context, it means that unless California does begin compensating farm owners, that farm worker unions have lost an incredibly important tool for organizing workers. These workers are very difficult to access off site. To the extent that the ruling invalidates the access right, it dramatically interferes with farm unions' ability to organize workers.
Right. So at first glance, this decision looks like it applies only to California and only to farms in California. So what are the broader ramifications of this in terms of access rights for other types of workplace organizing?
Yeah, so that's obviously a critical question. You know, on the one hand, the practical import of this decision for National Labor Relations Act, private sector union organizing outside the farm context, isn't that great. But the impact isn't that great because the law is already so bad. The law under the National Labor Relations Act, as defined in a case called Leachmere, essentially is that union organizers don't have much right to access employer property for the purpose of talking to workers about unionization. There are some exceptions to that rule. If it's impossible to access workers off company property, the common examples are like logging camps or mining camps, where the workers can be said to be outside of the normal flow of information that defines contemporary society, then maybe unions have a right to go on employer property to talk to workers. But in the vast run of cases, this access right doesn't exist already. And so the Cedar Point decision doesn't do much immediate damage outside the farm context. What it does do is it makes it much harder to argue that we should have labor law reform that would improve access rights under the National Labor Relations Act, which we absolutely need, and which many of us have been proposing for a long time. There's no question that unions ought to enjoy better access to employer property for the purpose of talking to workers about unionization. prior to Cedar Point that would have been possible with legislative change. That's no easy task, as we're seeing right now, but it's now a constitutional problem to make labor law better and improve access rights.
Right. And the decision in this case hinged on the Fifth Amendment. So I suppose it's elevating property rights above labor rights.
Yes. I mean, I think that's totally fair. The way I would put it, given all these Supreme Court cases, Leachmere and Babcock, that are already on the books, is we already live in a world in which property rights are elevated over labor rights. This decision constitutionalizes the problem. That is to say, it makes it a constitutional challenge to ever imagine improving access rights through legislation, and that's worse. And just briefly, thinking beyond the labor context, Cedar Point raises questions and problems about a whole host of important legal interventions. To put it bluntly, almost anything can be construed as a taking of property. And so any regulation can be construed as a taking of property if it interferes with an employer's right to do something, to exclude, let's say, whistleblowers. Is it a taking of property to prevent an employer from firing someone who blows the whistle for any number of legal violations?
Are there, in terms of labor law reform, there are aspects of the PRO Act, which is the main labor law reform that's pending right now, and that would, say, restrict captive audience meetings. Could that be considered a taking?
The problem with a decision like this one is that we have a vague constitutional text. This is what the court was doing with the First Amendment in recent years to union rights, taking these broad vague clauses and applying them in contexts where we didn't think they applied. So now it's a First Amendment violation for a public sector union to collect a fair share fee. Now it's a takings clause problem for the state of California to allow union organizers onto company property. We don't know where the court's going, but what I would say is, like the First Amendment, the Fifth Amendment has now become weaponized, to quote Justice Kagan, has become weaponized in a deregulatory effort whose initial target is labor law.
Yeah. And this also seems to hamstring states, right? Because California had to pass that law because agricultural workers were excluded from federal labor law, right?
That's absolutely right. So, if we don't get the PRO Act, and even if we do, many of us would argue that states ought to have much more discretion than they do to enact labor laws that better protect the right to organize and collectively bargain. Anytime you have a constitutional holding, whether it's the First Amendment or the Fifth Amendment, doesn't matter, that constrains not just the federal government, but state government. So with Cedar Point, this takings problem now looms over labor law reform that might take place in Congress, but also, as you suggest, at the state level.
That was Ben Sachs, Harvard Law professor and editor-in-chief of On Labor.